This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast, episode 248, The Bad Guys. It's good! Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, the number one place to get your animation fix with animation addicts just like you. Each episode, we dive into the wonderful world of animation featuring Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, and everything in between. From hilarious discussions and movie reviews to interviews with industry insiders, this show's mission is to brighten your day through our love of animation. So hop on your nerdy couch, grab some snacks, and get ready to hang out with your animation besties because it's time to dive into today's episode. Hey there, animation addicts. I'm your host, Morgan Stradling.
And I am Chelsea Robson.
Chelsea, do you prefer good guys or bad guys?
Oh, gosh.
You can take that whatever way you want to go with it.
Well, all right. So on the one hand, it's hard to not have some type of an interest in the bad guy, just for whatever reason. But it depends on how bad, obviously, and in what way they are bad.
Yeah, serial killer bad? No. Not interested.
Like, is this going to be a possibly manipulative, bad situation on my end? Probably not. But is this guy, like, you know, willing to have dessert before dinner? Well, you know, we'll go with that.
Wow, that is bad. I'm not bad. I'm just drawn this way. Well, today we are talking about DreamWorks' new film, The Bad Guys. So we're going all in on The Bad Guys here. We saw a press screening for it, and we are so excited to talk about it with you guys. So without further ado, let's hop on to the main discussion.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So before we talk about our thoughts of this film, let's set the stage. So DreamWorks Animation Studios, it's directed by Pierre Perefell. The release date in the United States is April 22nd, 2022. It was released a week earlier in Israel, March 16th, 2022. The budget, very surprising for me, $80 million budget. And so far, it has done $52.5 million, which is a great sign, considering it's just in a few international markets right now.
We basically recorded this a week prior to it being released. We decided that we wanted to actually give people at least one weekend to see it before we start talking about it like this. But so even now, in like only one country, maybe a couple other places, it's almost met its budget, which is fabulous.
Excellent. Very, very good, right?
All the DreamWorks people are like, yes, finally, please, post-pandemic, come on.
Yes. We all are hoping for that. We are on your side. We are rooting for you.
Yeah.
So, okay, what's interesting about this film is that this is an adaptation. So this is based on a book series, which is a children's graphic novel series by Aaron Blabley. And it features these anthropomorphic characters known as the bad guys. It says, according to Wikipedia, they perform good deeds to change society's perception of them as criminals, despite their efforts usually going wrong. And there are quite a few of these in the series, about 15 episodes as they're listed, even though they are graphic novels. So very, very cool. I've never heard of this series. I think it's pretty cool that they're something that exists and that it's done incredibly well and that DreamWorks got the rights, because I absolutely loved this movie. I loved this movie because I really, really loved the characters.
I did too. I felt like each one of the characters had like their own really fun personality that like meshed well. And like Fox, the Foxy girl, she had Foxington. A fun little like
Diane.
Diane. Yeah, I thought she was clever. Obviously, she's a fox. There were a lot of fun things about it. And it was just so straightforward as what you expect out of a movie. And it was just the epitome of, I just want to disconnect from reality and just enjoy.
I want to go to the movies and have a good time. I don't want to be preached to. I just want to enjoy myself at the theaters. And that's exactly what this movie was. And I think some of the things that go along with this is just the nature of this quote bad guy. You know, there's so many movies about bad people, but because they're the main characters, you kind of like them, right? You understand them, mm-hmm. and you feel for them. And this is a caper heist movie. I very much felt that it was similar to Ocean's 11, which movies where they just have this elaborate plan to pull off a heist. And then there were multiple times where they do a heist and then they show you like a secondary heist that happened after the fact. That's, you see that a lot in Ocean's 11 series. It had similarities to that, which I could watch Ocean's 11 every day of the week. I love that movie. And for that reason, I just really enjoyed myself. I think if done well, these heist movies are just so fun to see, because it's like, how are they going to pull this off?
Yeah. Yeah. There are parts of it that it's like, yeah, okay, I can definitely see where this plot is kind of going. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I was there for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about the characters, because we were talking about that we really enjoyed the characters. And so this is a gang of thieves and criminals, and they're all anthropomorphic animals that are typical bad guys that you would see in storybooks and tales and nursery rhymes, right? Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, let's talk about Mr. Wolf. He was voiced by Sam Rockwell, who I wasn't familiar with, but he's kind of the leader, and he's suave and he's cool. And he is such a good character. Every time that he was on screen, I loved him. He's just suave and debonair. His voice acting was fantastic. I loved his voice actor, Sam. I thought he did a fantastic job. And then you really kind of relate with him. He has this dilemma that happens, and he starts wondering, like, well, do we always have to be the bad guys? And he starts shifting away from the rest of the group. And I just loved him. He's so smooth. He's so cool. And he has the coolest car.
His outfits were like spot on. Like, mm-hmm, man, you are slick, man.
Yes. Yes.
I feel like one of the main themes of this was like, not necessarily that, this is who I am, but this is who society sees me as. And mm-hmm, therefore why fight against what people already assume about me? And so in this case, he was the bad guy, the big bad wolf. He's always the bad guy in every movie. And they go through that at the very beginning and show you like, see, Little Red Riding Hood, all of these things. They say, I'm the bad guy. So why fight it? And then you have the snake, who he's probably one of the other
Mr. Snake.
Yes. Mr. Snake, as described as a sarcastic, safe-cracking Eastern brown snake. And Mr. Wolf's second in command and best friend. He was like, he definitely has more of the chip on his shoulder. If he had a shoulder. Yeah.
Side note, some of his costumes were like really great. I loved how
I loved it. He had the Hawaiian shirt with the bucket hat. It's just perfect.
And it really does have an Ocean's 11, Ocean's 10, Ocean's like Ocean's 10 too. Like that's the girl one, right? Oh, Sandra Bullock.
Mm-hmm.
And so later on, we have Awkwafina who comes in as Ms. Tarantula. And she is basically plays the same part that she plays in Ocean's 10.
Yeah, Awkwafina as Awkwafina. Like instantly, yes. Once that tarantula opened her mouth, I was like, okay, yeah, I know exactly who you are. Like, you're Awkwafina.
Right.
Who is so hot right now in movies and animation. This is.
I love her though.
She's great.
I appreciate her in whatever she's in. She fills that role well. They always cast her in good roles. But I also feel like she's kind of like a, and I hesitate to bring Will Smith up in current climates, but I mean, when Will Smith plays the genie, you know, Will Smith isn't going to try to be Robin Williams. They hired him to be Will Smith as the mm-hmm. genie. Right. And it's kind of the same thing when you look at Awkwafina. Like she does have these other parts that are very moving and she does she's an actress and does a great job, but she's also has a personality that is very easily marketable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when she does play these roles that play to that side of her, I appreciate it because I like that. I like her. So good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Mr. Shark, who was voiced by Craig Robinson. So, of course, you know, the sharks are always the bad guys. The great white shark, you know, you're going to get eaten if you go in the water. Watch out for sharks, you know, which is not necessarily true. You know, a lot of these animals, right. You know, have a bad rap. And then we had Mr. Piranha, who's a red-bellied piranha. And he's the short guy.
Yeah, he's the short guy. The thing is about piranhas, like, I don't see them as ever having a good side. Like misunderstood. Like sharks, yeah, they are misunderstood. Tarantulas also, you know, they have,
they're
like,
friendly,
right? Yeah.
They don't bite. They're just, because they're a spider and most people hate spiders and they are one of the biggest of the spiders, they get a bad rep,
right? And snakes also, I've told my story of my snake.
Mm-hmm.
The wolf, you know, it's the ancestor to man's best friend, so obviously sometime they were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things, I'm like, but piranhas being fish and it's really,
I've never
just
heard of any
bloodthirsty.
There's been very few experiences of me and people with it, piranhas, but I've never heard of piranhas being good. Like, oh, or my pet piranha, or I went to the exhibit. We got to pet some piranhas today. It's just, right. It doesn't happen. So afterwards I was like, you know what? The piranha just didn't do it for me. I much rather would have preferred him to be a skunk, because I feel like skunks are misunderstood. I mean, if you leave a skunk alone, they're fine. I mean, and so with Mr. Piranha, he had this stink thing with him. And it was just, the stupid fart jokes in animated movies. It actually did serve the plot. But why the piranha? Like, if a fish farts underwater, it just, like, it didn't make sense. The skunk would have made so much more sense,
really,
because
would've.
Then it wouldn't have felt like a fart. Like, oh gosh, here we are doing a fart joke again. It's like, oh, it's a skunk smelly joke. I can handle that. I don't know why the differentiation matters, but it does.
It does. On TikTok, there's somebody who has like a pet skunk and they've basically removed the stink sacks. And so it's basically a cat. Like, that's how they end up acting amongst the other animals.
right.
Acts like a cat.
Well, in Looney Tunes, there's the cat that he thinks, that Pepe Le Pew thinks is a skunk. And that's the whole bit. He thinks she's one of them.
Oh, right. Good times.
Yes.
It's a good day when you can reference Looney Tunes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Becoming few and far between nowadays.
It is. That's the main group of bad guys. And I thought it was funny how they did actually, that was their name, quote, the bad guys, as opposed to like just being a, like, it's a proper name. Bad guys.
No, I loved it. I loved how simple and straightforward this movie was. It's like, there's the bad guys, literally called bad guys, and, you know, good guys. But there were.
Well, just everyone else.
Speaking of bad guys, I'm not bad, and that's good. I will never be good, and that's not bad. There is no one I would rather be. And they say to me, Zangief, you are bad guy, but you are not Bad guy.
Bad guy.
See, this is Wreck-It Ralph was doing this too, you know, the bad guy affirmation that they went to their bad guy meeting.
That was one of the best. I should watch that again sometime. Good. It's been a minute. But that
Bowser,
scene,
there's Zangief.
It's probably the best scene in animation.
In animation.
Maybe not wow. in animation. But definitely in, I don't know. It's a great scene.
Yeah. So those are the bad guys. And then we have the new governor in town. She is a Red Fox governor, voiced by Zazie Beetz. And her name is Diane Foxington, which we later discover is actually, in a former life, known as the Crimson Paw.
As I mentioned before, she's sly. She's foxy. They have a really fun dance sequence where she and Mr. Wolf are
I must have missed that, because here it says Mr. Wolf's love interest, and I'm like, I didn't really get the love part of this.
There wasn't ever like a moment of like, this is my love interest, but it was definitely like they were always flirting through the whole thing.
Yeah, totally. So I guess it's time for Morgan's theater report. Since Mason's not here, I will take on the burden. So Chelsea and I saw this as a press screening, and some of these press screenings are exclusive press. And other times it's press with a public screening. And this was the latter. And so the whole theater was jam-packed, lots of families, lots of kids, and then the press seats. Chelsea and I went, and I brought my kids, who are 5 and 3 years old. So my son and my daughter. We're watching the movie, and my daughter is just, she has a shorter attention span when it comes to movies. She'll watch 15 minutes, and then she's like, okay, I'm bored. I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go play, going to do this. And so, you know, about 30 minutes, 45 minutes into the movie, she was kind of like curling in a ball and, you know, laying on the recliner, because these are the fancy recliner seats. And I'm like, okay, she's clearly bored. She was doing that that morning, but I didn't really think anything of it. Well, next thing I know, I look over and she is literally throwing up all over herself, on her body, on her pants. It's all over the chair. And I'm like horrified. Because that's never anything that you want happen. And you, if it's going to happen, you would prefer it to be on...
Especially on the fancy chairs.
On the fancy chairs. It's like, can this not be just on the concrete? No, it had to be on like the fancy... But at least they've upgraded and they're not fabric chairs anymore, because... I'm just like, I look at the press people and they're like, it's okay, it's okay. And so I pick her up and we leave, and then they inform the movie theater what happened. They're like, no worries, we'll clean it up. And so I go to the bathroom with her, have her stripped down to her underwear because it's all over. We wash her clothes, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, what am I going to do with this? I'm not putting wet clothes back on her to have her go sit down. And it's, at this point, it's like, okay, if this was a normal movie screening or movie, we would leave, right?
Right.
But I need to see this for my review. So, and Chelsea and my son are in there. So I'm like, we got to go back. So luckily, this just happened to be at a movie theater that was directly attached to a mall. So no further than 200 feet away was an H&M. So I march her into the H&M in her undies, and we go, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to, she already has so many clothes, because we have a friend who has just one daughter, one son, and then they just give us all of their hand-me-downs, which are basically new. So my daughter has no need for clothes. Very blessed in that way. So I'm like, well, I don't need to buy a shirt and a pants for her. Like, she already has so many clothes I don't know what to do with. You know, we end up donating them to other families. So I have her pick a dress. She picks out a dress. She puts it on, and we go back. And when I come back, the seat is completely clean, not, as if nothing had happened, not even wet to the touch. And we sit down and we go and we finish the rest of the movie. So not enjoyable in the least. Do not recommend.
Here's the thing. I didn't even notice them cleaning it.
You were so into the movie.
No, but I saw you.
I imagine that there was a huge crew of people who went and cleaned that. Clearly not, if you did not even notice.
No. And I think they probably came in on the other side, like, because they didn't pass in front of me.
But we were
which is kind of weird, because like we were on the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they, so anyway, it had these,
There was one point in time where Graham realizes that you're gone. And it was like a couple minutes later. Like he was that into the movie that he didn't even realize it. Mm-hmm. And he just starts like spinning around, like antics, like, what happened? Where's my mom?
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, it's okay. She'll be back. They just went to the bathroom or something. And he's just like, oh, okay. And it's like, went back to normal. But yeah, I didn't even realize that they came in to clean it. Maybe I did notice somebody coming past, but I was enthralled by the movie. It was a good movie.
That's good. That is a great sign. You could have vomiting happening next to you and full cleaning crew and don't even notice.
Nope.
So going back to Diane Foxington. So there's this clearly a scene where they're dancing. There's at a different event. I missed that, which is a bummer because I really liked the chemistry that they had, the little that I saw. But one thing that I loved about her, her dresses were impeccable. Mm-hmm. Her mm-hmm. dresses were amazing. They were on point. They were classy.
Very stylish.
They were very stylish. I love them. So mad props to the costume designers because they did a really, really good job. And I noticed. So,
at the dance. I recognize you.
That you did a good job.
Yeah, well, there was the one outfit that I loved the best was when they were dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a pantsuit with a blue, really shiny kind of material. Mm-hmm. And then like this, but it had like a skirt that was over the pantsuit. So it was like super, super fab. It wasn't a cape, but it's like if a dress had a cape around the hips, you know, that's kind of what it looked like. And so as she's like doing these high kicks and stuff, it's like throwing the back to the back and just like really showing off this outfit. I was like, oh, I'm into this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just felt like her whole style, like her whole persona was really good.
Yes.
And later on when they bring in that she is the Crimson Paw and that she has changed her life and made it gone from being the lady thief to be like Miss Governor.
Yeah.
Is pretty cool.
On the Wikipedia page, it has she's revealed to be a former lady thief, and it has a hyperlink to the Wikipedia page. So I'm like, I'm interested. Click. And it brings me to the page for gentleman thief, and it says a gentleman thief, gentleman burglar, lady thief, or phantom thief is a stock character in fiction. A gentleman or lady thief usually has inherited wealth and is characterized by impeccable manners, charm, courteousness, and the avoidance of physical force or intimidation to steal. Oh, so I did not know that this was a lady thief was a thing, but it is. So let's see other famous lady thieves.
Felicia Hardy, the black cat from Spider-Man. Yes, 100% lady thief.
Well, Selena Kyle, Catwoman from Batman.
Yeah, right, says, right, right.
Danny Ocean
Carmen
is
Sandiego. Danny Carmen San Diego.
For Danny Ocean, he's a gentleman's thief in Ocean's 11. I'm trying to see any others that are the. I don't like that they just combine gentlemen, lady thieves. This makes it hard for me to find what I'm looking for. But
yeah, I mean, Flynn Rider. Would you consider him
a gentleman?
I don't
thief?
Consider him a gentleman thief because he doesn't come from money,
no.
And he is 100% like motivated by riches.
Right.
So
right.
I don't see him as that.
Guess we'll have to do a nerdy couch discussion on our favorite gentleman thief and lady thieves.
Yes.
Chelsea's like, this wasn't.
I mean, this works this, for me.
This was the dirty cap discussion. Okay, great. So that's the end of that chapter. Okay, so the only other real characters of note is this Professor Marmalade the Fourth. And he's a pompous guinea pig philanthropist who turns out to be the bad guy. So he tries to frame the bad guys for him, who is actually the bad guy. The plot of this was really funny. There was this meteor that hit LA, and I really loved that it was set in LA. It just totally worked for me. I was talking with our fellow roto writer, Rachel Wagner, and she mentioned the same thing. She says most animated films are set in fake cities, but she really enjoyed that this one was LA. And I have to agree with that. It was just kind of like a gritty, fun LA. Anyways, this meteor hits it, and it happens to be in the shape of a heart. And it turns out that it's a power source, which of course, like how many superhero or just action films, it's like, we must find this power source. Classic. But that's what I loved about this film. It's like, they're not trying to reinvent the wheel.
No.
They're kind of taking these things that have been tried and true and done before and just going with it. And the film actually is described as having a similar twist on the heist genre that Shrek did on fairy tales and what Kung Fu Panda did for the Kung Fu genre. And I completely agree. This is just a spin, a twist on heist films in animation form, and did such a great job. So, yeah. So what I thought was really interesting, actually, was that we have these anthropomorphic characters, and it's really just like the main bad guy crew. It's Foxington, Marmalade, but then everyone else are humans, which was like kind of weird. But then I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I'm just rolling with this. And I think it's great.
I mean, it definitely puts it back into, it makes it easier for them to be considered the bad guys because everybody else is different. So like everybody else is looking at them based on the stereotypical view because they're the only one of their kind.
But then what about the fox?
Well, that's the thing. Like she was able to change it. You know, she is part of that, that small group that is able to change how they are perceived.
Right. So, you know what I thought was funny with there were quite a few different animation styles that they had just combined. And for some reason it totally works. The police force was more of this CalArts style, like bean mouth animation, similar to what we saw in Turning Red. You know, these are like Steven Universe sort of films, where it's, just the mouths are just like literally look like a big kidney bean. And they have these teeth that's just like, we're just going to draw the lines down the way. And it was funny because that's what they were. And they were stylistically so different than the bad guys or even Foxington. And some of the human, they were more stylized than the other humans, like the reporter or just background, you know, generic background characters. So I just thought, and even the way they moved was kind of like 8-bit in nature, like kind of like Wreck-It Ralph, going back to that, where you kind of like jumped from pose to pose. There wasn't this fluid animation in between, very stylized. And I can't tell you why, but it totally worked. And I think they pulled from the graphic novel aspect of this. Mm-hmm. And I loved it because if there was like a punch or a pow or whatever, you would see those little, you know, waves, for lack of a better term, action, you know, that you would draw in a still form, you know, those were there. And I loved it. I just really, really, really loved it. I can't. And the animation on the characters, like talking about the bad guys, it just was different, like stylistically. It was kind of this watercolor. I can't say watercolor, but the way that the colors like blended into each other, it was very smooth and just beautiful and stunning. I can't put it into words precisely, but I love the art style of this movie.
Yeah, the two movies that came to my mind when I was watching it are one that it was the short Paper Man, because it had the animation 3D but with a overlay of like flat 2D, and then also it had a bit of the Peanuts kind of stylings. The characters themselves were rounded, but there were flat areas, like the face was flat. Like it was an actual drawn on flat, like surface, it seemed like. And so I felt like that kind of made things more accentuated and their talking style. And it added a little bit more of that, as you were talking about, that comic book type graphic novel stylings to it.
Yes.
And I felt like that was, those two things were like I said, those are the two things that I felt I connected dots to. But the whole thing, like I just, the whole time I'm watching thinking, I really like this. I really
exactly,
like how it's drawn.
Exactly. And they did a really good job of en media res, where you start in the middle of an action. And so you didn't have to kind of like, they explained who they are without really having to explain who they were. So they're in the middle of a heist. They're all five of them are together. They are driving. And I cannot say it again enough. This car, the car was so cool because it was just kind of like this sedan kind of 80s, and when I was looking at the credits,
it was a muscle car.
They had a specific person that was the Mr. Wolf car designer. So like one guy's job specifically, but it must have been, I don't know if he worked in the studio or if it was a contracted out sort of thing, like a famous car designer or whatnot, which happens a lot in these movies. But I was like, well, that money was well spent, because every time that car came on scene, I was like, I want this car. This is so cool. And it was very important to Mr. Wolf. But so we start this action scene where they're in the middle of robbing a bank, pretty classic fair stuff, right? And then we're introduced to each one of the characters and what they are, what their specialty is, how they help the group, and they get away. And, you know, then we see the police, you know, we're introduced there, and it just, it was such a great way to introduce it, to make it exciting, to make it fun, to say like, this is the wild ride that you're in for, and it's going to be a good time.
Mm-hmm. And point where he kind of breaks the fourth wall, not kind of, he completely breaks the fourth wall and is talking directly to the audience for that split second at the very beginning. And then also at the very end where he's just like, come closer. Oh, you don't want to get that close? It's because we're the bad guys, isn't it?
Yes. And the writing was like, great.
Whatever. Yeah, it was very clever, especially as they got a little bit further on, and it shows his transformation of going from being the bad guy and loving it to like there's something more. He's trying to steal a purse from an old lady and he's going down, and then all of a sudden she's about to fall, and so he's like, ah crap, well, I better save her. And then she turns around, holds his paws, and looks up at him and is like, you're a good boy. And like his tail starts to wag, and he's just like, oh, something has been awakened inside of me.
What a great visual.
Like, it was such a great visual. And I was like, and throughout the whole time, and then later on, there's the moment where they all like, something starts to wag as they start to like, feel like, I'm a good boy. I can be good.
Yes.
And like the shark, like his fin starts wagging. It's just like, it's so ridiculous.
You know, there was a huge missed opportunity to redo the design of the snake to have him be a rattlesnake, because that would have been awesome. And then, you know, when he gets excited, his tail rattles. But at the same time, rattlesnakes really only do that when they are being bad and they're like, get the heck away from me.
Well, they do that when they're saying, yo, step back.
Yeah, exactly.
His shoulder, like he doesn't have shoulders, obviously. Mm-hmm. But like going back to some of his costumes, there was one costume where he had like arms kind of just built into the jacket.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't have arms, but it's just, he's trying to look like a different thing. Like, I don't know. There were all these little funny things that I just really enjoyed. And I felt like you guys did a great job.
Yeah.
So when it came down to the music, I'm listening to it, and there's certain moments where I love how in movies you're able to accentuate the plot by the type of music that you throw in there. And like, there's one point where you could tell that it was like a joke or it was a funny type moment. And so the music kind of reflects that to add more emphasis in that. So there were several of these moments that I felt like it really worked with the story. And it was, you're not really supposed to note it. Like, well, you can do two ways. One, you can make the music as one of the central character or characteristics of a film. Or you can make the music or the score as being just the thing that kind of enhances the experience as you're watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this one was more of an enhancement. I only noticed it in certain moments when they were really trying to drive home a plot point or a feeling within the plot point. It was all done by Daniel Pemberton. Mm-hmm. And Daniel actually was also, he did all the music for Into the Spider-Verse. It's interesting when you take a look at the difference between these two, where Into the Spider-Verse, I feel like the music was used as much more of a characteristic of the film and even a character voice as opposed to over here where it was much more of an enhancement. So it's interesting. I don't necessarily think that one is better than the other. It really depends on the story and what they're trying to get across. I noticed good things about this one, and I also loved the one for Into the Spider-Verse. So
yeah.
Random side note, I was looking for different interviews with Daniel this morning, and I came across one. It's a YouTube channel called, like, where they do a segment called Creative Cribs. And it's basically they just go into these musicians, producers, whatever their houses, and the guy's like, hey, show me all of your gear, basically. And it goes through, he's been doing this since like the early 90s, and so the types of gear that he has, it just takes me back, because like my parents have always been into music and recording things, and so they have like old reel to reels, they have basically, as music has progressed, it has gone through different mediums. As you know, even younger listeners would recognize, you went from maybe remembering the CD to now remember streaming, and mm-hmm. even vinyl is coming back. Millennials are like, oh, give me the vinyl. So anyway, it's just for nerds like myself who appreciate just random types of changing of the creative formats. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyway. Little plug for Creative Cribs.
Nice. Creative Cribs. So I will have to say that I think this is one of the best DreamWorks films that I have seen in a long time. Like, this is very much needed for DreamWorks. So I'm just pulling up the DreamWorks page that has their most recent films. Very impressive that this is the 42nd film that they have done in animation.
That is really impressive.
Disney is, you know, in the, I think, 60 right now. So within just a few decades, they've really have quite a few output. But so looking at recently that's come out, The Boss Baby, Family Business, Spirit Untamed, Croods, A New Age, Trolls World Tour. So a lot of sequels, Abominable, How to Train Your Dragon. I'll just talk about the originals, not the, so Captain Underpants, Boss Baby, Trolls, Home, Penguins of Madagascar, you know, they're Turbo, The Croods. I mean, there's Rise of the Guardians, you know, now we're going back about 10 years. You know, they're recently, I don't know, this for me is the best DreamWorks film in probably the past 5 years. These other ones, you know, like I didn't see the second Croods movie. Trolls World Tour was okay. Abominable, I thought, was kind of okay. Captain Underpants, I thought, was okay. Boss Baby was good. Trolls, obviously phenomenal, but that was 2016. So, you know, it's been 6 years. So I'm really excited that this one is just so far and away good. I really hope people go and see this movie, that there's a lot of word of mouth. I know as soon as the embargo lifts on this, we're recording this prior to the embargo and when the film is released. But as soon as it does, I'm going on my social media and letting everybody know, because I just had such a fantastic time watching this movie.
Yeah, I've said this on multiple occasions, that I feel like DreamWorks movies are underappreciated mm-hmm. because you have a lot of really great writing and just a lot of talent that is at DreamWorks. And because maybe it just doesn't have the social community mm-hmm. based around their animation. Like, it doesn't, it's never going to get the same amount of hubbub as what a Disney film would get.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's an interesting Nerdy Couch discussion, as far as like, how does one create the hubbub, mm-hmm. this like cultural connection between a brand of theaters. I mean, and I think a lot
Disney
of it is
just
because
decades and decades and decades of your right. parents growing up with it, you growing up with it, just hitting this apex of popularity right. that there's just so much momentum behind every new thing that they have. And at this point, you know, DreamWorks has that, but it's totally not the same. It's not to that level.
I mean, you also have the parks. You also have all these, you know, everything kind of feeds into each other,
yeah,
I believe. Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, props to everyone at DreamWorks for putting out such a great film. Really enjoyed it.
All right. So what would you rate it?
See, that's a hard thing, like, because I don't know if I would rate this as like a 5-star film because, uh-huh. you know, it's not, I wouldn't say that this is culturally significant as a movie that will like change how movies are done.
Yeah.
It was done extremely well for what it was trying to do. So because of that, I would probably give it 4 stars, mm-hmm. 4.5.
I'm with you. I'm debating between 4 and 4.5. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. This was such a fun, wild ride. It had the intention of putting a twist on the heist genre. And that's where I think the movie does best. Anytime that they're doing a heist, a caper, doing something bad, that it really does shine. And I really just love the twist of the governor being actually a bad guy. I didn't really see that coming at all. The designs were just so well done. If you look at the original Bad Guys graphic novels, these are totally different designs. Like those are kind of really goofy and very kiddish and totally a different vibe. But they really sophisticated the designs and transformed it into something new. And it's its own thing. I'm not sure, you know, maybe some plot lines were taken from the novels. I don't know. But the way that they were able to incorporate everything, the journey of Mr. Wolf and his transformation and his inner conflict that he had, I thought was so well done. He is very much a Danny Ocean sort of character where he is just smooth and suave and debonair. And every time he opened his mouth, I loved it. I could not get enough of that character. And I can't say that about a lot of characters in animated movies where you're just so endearing. And that's the thing. Like, he's supposed to be super charming. There was one moment where they have him dressed. They're doing some mock being good guys training, and he's dressed as a grandma. And it's just little puns like that where he's, you know, the big bad wolf in, you know, dressed as grandma for Little Red Riding Hood. And they kind of did these little plays on each one of the characters, which I thought
was a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it was great. And I think he really led the show while everyone else was really great as secondary characters. And Foxington was probably my second favorite character. I just loved everything about her. One thing that was kind of disappointing at the end, like I really wanted them to kiss. Gosh dang it. And his car was boss and I loved it. So I'm going to give this movie 4.25. Can I do that? I'm going to give it a 4.25.
Sure. Okay.
If I had to go see this again next week with, you know, another group of friends or family, like I'd absolutely go. And I'm really happy for DreamWorks. And I just hope this goes well. And if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, go see it. Go support them. A big fan of this movie. And I'm pumped to see what DreamWorks has next based on this. Which we've talked about is Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. So, you know,
as we were watching, you had some, or as we were leaving the studio, there were some big posters for Puss in Boots. I was just like telling Morgan, I was like, oh, every studio is basically taking all of their biggest franchises and putting out a sequel right now because they're just like, I need some recognition. Get people to the theaters.
We know this works. Yeah. So this is obviously a huge risk post pandemic. It's, you know, these new films that maybe don't have that notoriety. So I really hope this does well. It's in kind of a weird time slot. It's this April, so it's not quite the spring break, you know, March, which seems to do really well, but it's leading into summer. I really hope that goes in its favor where it's able to get some momentum leading to, you know, end of school, summertime. I would like to see this one do really, really well at the box office. So,
yeah.
Good times. All right, guys, let us know your thoughts on The Bad Guys. Do you like it? Is it a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Let us know in the comments. Go to rotoscopers.com/248. And of course, you can catch us on Instagram. Let us know there. All right, so our next episode, we're going to be talking about our favorite montage songs in Disney animated films. So if you haven't, be sure to subscribe for that one. And that's all that we have for today. Until next time.
We are the Rotoscopers.
I am recording. Is your recording set to your microphone? Yes. Yes. Are you recording? Yes. Do you have headphones on? Yes. I mean, I guess I don't really have to ask that one, but I guess that's not for us. That's for... Hey, you know what? Well, the pilots have to do their checklist, even if it's the most obvious thing in the world.
We do our checklist, dang it.
Is recording a backup? Yes, 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 and yes. Perfect. Let's do this before the baby wakes up.
Let's do it.
Sorry, I'm still not sure about that.
Oh. Neither am I, Siri. I am not
sure. Siri, get out of here. We like Mr. Wolf. I don't know about you. You're not on the podcast. Get out of here. You've been listening to the Animation Addicts podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to share the podcast with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag us at Rotoscopers on Instagram and use the hashtag #AnimationAddicts. For all the links and full show notes for this episode, go to rotoscopers.com/podcast. Now, if you still can't get enough for your animation fix, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and visit rotoscopers.com for more animation news, reviews, and interviews. Thanks for listening.